Shalom. Thank you for listening to this week's message from Emmaus Road Fellowship, where we encounter Yeshua in the scriptures. Check out our website at walkingemmausroad.org, where you'll find additional teachings and information on visiting us in Kingwood, Texas. If you've been blessed by this ministry, please consider giving to support Emmaus Road's mission of spreading the good news of the kingdom. May God grant you shalom in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. All right, this week our portion is Akev. And you might ask, why is our portion called Akev? And it's because. I knew that would fall so flat, but you know what it was? I knew it was going to fall really flat, but the way I see it is I have a captive audience. This is a great testing ground for jokes. The jokes that are good, I get to tell to friends and colleagues, and the ones that fall flat, I get to tell to my kids. So, so this week the portion is Akev, and it means because. It's also the same three-letter word that is the root for heal. Okay, so it's heal, and it's because, and we're gonna talk a little bit about that in this teaching here. But I want to start with, I guess, a little story in introducing today's message, and so this. This week, one of the things that was highlighted to me a number of times is from the portion that speaks about God feeding the children of Israel the manna in the wilderness. And of course, that made me think about Yeshua feeding the 5,000, the great miracle that was performed there. And so then this morning, I felt led to go, okay, I think we're going to read that story today. So I was like, well, I need to look it up. And so my first thought was, well, I could just do a quick search and see where it is. I can get there real fast. But I felt like I had a leading of, no, get your Bible, open it up and find it. Because sometimes the journey to find the passage is more important than actually finding the passage, if that makes sense. And so I opened up the Bible to Matthew, and I started to kind of flip through looking at the headings going, I'm going to find this real quick. And I heard, I'll help you find it. And I thought, you know, how are you going to help me find it? I'm just going to see it here in the headings. You know, I'm flipping, it's going to be there. And I'm still in the early part of Matthew, and I hear Matthew 16. And I think, well, Matthew 16, that's too late. It's before Matthew 16. But I'm like, okay, I'm going to go and I'm going to look at Matthew 16. And I take a quick look at Matthew 16, and nope, I don't see the heading for it. And I'm like, okay, well, I tell you what, I'm going to read the words of Yeshua here in Matthew 16, and I'll see if there's anything in here. And so in Matthew 16, verse 5, when the disciples reached the other side, they had forgotten to bring any bread. And Yeshua said, watch and beware the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they began discussing it among themselves, saying, we brought no bread. But Yeshua, aware of this, said, oh, you little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive? Do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000? Of course, I began to laugh. You know, it's because it's another one of those things where God's got it together. I may not, but if I could listen to his voice and follow, then I'm going to find the way. And so he says, do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets you gathered, or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many baskets you gathered? How is it that you fail to understand that I did not speak about bread? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And, well, one, I was humbled and thrilled that God had said, here's where you need to go look. And when I was reading the scriptures, what stood out to me was when he says, do you not yet understand? That was the version that I read, said, do you not yet understand about the 5,000 and about the 4,000? And in that, there's an invitation of, well, there's a deeper understanding that we need to be pressing into. What is it that is being revealed through this story and the feeding of the 5,000 and Oh, that God would open our eyes to see and give us understanding of His Word and His ways. And I feel like what He was saying to them was that it's more than just about that a miracle happened or that people were fed and were satisfied. There's a deeper understanding to what those stories were supposed to convey to His followers and to the people who received it, and even today to the people who read it. Did you know that the story of the feeding of the 5,000 is one of the only stories about the life of Yeshua that shows up in all four Gospels? The only other one, which it's a large one, is the Passion of Messiah. From the story of the triumphal entry to His resurrection, there are multiple things in that story that are repeated in all four Gospels. But apart from that, the only other thing that shows up in all four Gospels is the feeding of the 5,000. I think that tells us that there's something really significant also in this story. And as we look today and see how that story is, not the story of the 5,000, but the recalling of God giving the manna in the wilderness, we can think of God's provision and understand a little deeper of what is being told to us here. So let's go and first go over to our portion here in Deuteronomy, and I'll go to chapter 8, verse 1. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that He might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. And He humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing you did not wear out on, did not wear on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. So God is telling the children, or Moses is telling the children of Israel, that God had led them through this wilderness, humbled them, allowed them to hunger, and then met their need, that He might make them know that man doesn't live by bread alone, but he lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord, everything that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so in that, God was teaching the children of Israel that He is their provider in the midst of all things. Regardless of their circumstances, He's the one who is with them and giving them what they need. And it was an important lesson for them to learn on the journey, so that when they came into the land and they were in the land of milk and honey and had great provision, that they would not forget who it was that had provided for them. That even though they were working the land, even though that they were bringing forth the produce from the field, that even that produce that they were bringing forth was ultimately from the hand of God. Because they live on everything that proceeds from the mouth of God, all of His provision at all times, whether it looks like they created it or whether He did. It all comes from the power of His might. And He fed them that as a testament of, well, connected with the giving of the manna, if you recall, God originally said He was going to test them to see if they would do what He said. Because for 6 days they would gather, and on the seventh day, they would not. Would they trust Him, do as He said according to what He had given them? Not to keep it over to the next day, but to trust that the next day God would provide for that day's needs. That was part of the story of the manna. It was very much connected to, I'm giving you this gift, this provision. Now what are you going to do with it? Are you going to continue to listen to my voice, to follow after me, to do what I say? Or will you forget the giver and begin looking at your own strength? And I mentioned that this week's portion is called Akev. It's because Let's go take a look at that in Deuteronomy 7, verse 12. The scripture says, "And because you listen to these rules and keep and do them, the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and the steadfast love that he swore to your fathers." So I'm going here because just a moment ago I'm referring to what's the response to the provision of God. God's provision he gives as a test to see what are we going to do with it. Are we going to be faithful? Are we going to listen? And when we do, we get to walk in the fullness of it. That's what this portion is introducing at the very beginning. It says, because you listen to these rules and keep and do them, the Lord will keep with you the covenant and the steadfast love that he swore to your fathers. He made the promise. He's given his word that he's going to increase the children of Israel like the stars of the sky and give them the land. Now what are you going to do with that promise? He says, when you listen to that promise, when you hearken to my voice, on the heels of you listening and following, you're going to receive the blessings that God promised. He will love you, bless you, multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground, your grain and your wine and your oil, the increase of your herds and the young of your flock, and the land that he swore your fathers to give you. If you say in your heart, and now skipping forward to verse 17, if you say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? You shall not be afraid of them, but you shall remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt. The great trials that your eyes saw, the signs, the wonders, the mighty hand and the outstretched arm by which the Lord your God brought you out, so will the Lord your God do to all the peoples of whom you are afraid. Moreover, the Lord your God will send hornets among them until those who are left and hide themselves from you are destroyed. You shall not be in dread of them, for the Lord your God is in your midst, a great and awesome God. And so what he's communicating to the people is that you're going to receive these blessings that I have promised because you hearken to my voice. When you walk in my ways, you'll walk in the fullness of the promise. And it's God's great desire to give his children the fullness of the blessing. And so if we continue on here in Deuteronomy 8, in verse 15, Moses is encouraging the people again about their journey to remember what it is that God has done for them so they would not forget. And he speaks of God who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions, thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do good to you in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. So here, within Moses speaking to them, he's encouraging to remember the goodness of God all these days, not to forget. Not to forget that it's God who provided, God who protected, so that when they do come to the land, they will not forget. He says, don't say in your heart that the power and the might of your hand have gotten me this wealth. Okay. When I read this, where you say, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth, it brought me back to last week's message with Ephesians 6. And in Ephesians 6, verse 10, we started out last week's message saying, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And we spoke about how our faith is strengthened when we look at the one who has the might and the power. And it's in his strength and his might that we have faith, not in our own power. Right? And so this Ephesians 6:10 is about being strong and confident in God's power and might to provide. And so Moses is saying, do not take those same words of God's power and might and attribute them to you? Do you not say that your power and the might of your hand does this? For it is God that gives you the power to go do it. The power is not of your own. It's what he places within you out of his power and his might. And it's in that that you move forward. It's in that that you walk in faithfulness to God to accomplish his plan and his purposes. You know, with one of the and another thing that stood out to me here in this verse from Deuteronomy 18, when it says that he gives you power to get wealth, to produce, so that he may establish his covenant that he swore to your fathers. So he may establish his covenant. And I began thinking on, well, what does that really look like, God establishing his covenant? And is it just that he fulfills the promises, like that he caused the children of Israel to become many, that he's giving them the land? Is that really the establishment of the covenant? And it's certainly part of the establishing of the covenant, but I don't believe that it's the fullness of what God means when he's going to establish and confirm the covenant. Instead, I see it that he's saying, I'm providing you these things so that my covenant can be established through you. The covenant going beyond just the land and the people. The covenant being the purpose for which he brought the people together as one nation, raised them up and gave them a land such that they could go forward and be a light to the nations. So the name of God would be spread to all the earth. So that all the nations of the earth would be blessed in him. That's the establishing of the covenant. It's establishing it for a purpose that it can meet, that can accomplish a greater purpose, that the whole world would know based on what God is doing, equipping his people to be the ministers that he's called them to be. And now, making that statement of establishing the covenant and tying it into this week's portion, I don't think it's just a grasping it in an idea or a concept. And part of the reason why I say that is this word akev, because it only shows up in the Torah 7 times. When I say the Torah, by the way, sometimes the Torah can mean all of the Tanakh. Sometimes it can mean the first 5 books of the Torah. And in this case, the 7 times I'm speaking of are in the first 5 books, Genesis through Deuteronomy. It shows up a total of 7 times. 5 times it has to do with, it means because, and it has to do with faithfulness towards God. Because of faithfulness or because of a lack of faithfulness. The other 2 times it actually is expressly speaking of a heel. But 2 of the times point back to the story of Abraham and the binding of Isaac. Okay? And Genesis 22:18, after Abraham had taken Isaac up on the mountain and had bound him and had been prepared to offer him up, and he was stopped by the angel. The angel had come and said that Abraham would be blessed in all this in all these things because he did not withhold his son, his only son. And in Genesis 22:18, he says, "And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." All right, so this, the covenant God had given to Abraham to give him children and a land stood. That was, God was going to establish that covenant with him. But then there's this extra blessing that was tied to the original promise of the blessing to all nations that would come through his offspring, through his faithfulness. Because he listened to God's voice, the blessing would extend to all nations. And so God was saying, my provision that I'm giving to you isn't just for your family. It's for all the families of the world Yes, you're a special treasure with a special calling, but this is to be something that extends to the end of the earth, and that's what we see in Isaiah 49. God says, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. And in this, in Isaiah 49, it's very much a messianic chapter, speaking of God giving his servant as a covenant for the people, and that his light would be for all the nations, that his salvation would reach the end of the earth. And it's all in the context, even the promise to Abraham and the assurance that his offspring would be a blessing to the nations came through the offering of the Son. It came through the offering of the Son. And so we have within this, we have God's promise to his people for establishing his covenant, but tied to it, you have also the blessing that goes to all the nations that comes through the faithfulness of Abraham and the faithfulness of the Son to provide for all the people what they would need. You know, one of the things that we talk about it from time to time is the tests that we go through in our faith. God tests our faith to prove it. He gives us the opportunity to show that we are going to listen to his voice and follow him wholeheartedly. That's another time that Achab was mentioned. When Caleb had come back from spying out the land and he gave the good report, he didn't listen to the bad report. And God says it's because he followed me wholeheartedly, he will see the land, right? But what God calls us to is in the midst of all the trials, in the midst of all the dealings of our life, he calls us to be strong and courageous, not to lose heart because of what we see, not to lose heart because we recognize that the power of our hand is insufficient. He says, no, I'm going to make you powerful to achieve what I've sent you out to do. What your job is to listen to me and to follow wholeheartedly wherever I say to go. You know, I feel like this is a continuation of really the past few weeks of talking about faith and where does the strength of our faith come from and how do we walk? God's not looking for people who just kind of sit, who rest on their heels. How about that? Who just say, you know what? I'm good. I know what I need to know. He's looking for the people who say, God, I want more of you. I don't just want what I can achieve on my own. I want the fullness of what you have planned and your purposes in my life, your plans and your purposes for my neighbor. And you know, we're not going to figure it out all on our own. We're not going to be able to do it all on our own. We need the voice of God to tell us where to go, what to do, what to say. When I get up here every week, you know, a prayer that I pray multiple times every Saturday is to say, God, show me what to say, when to say it, how to say it, when to push forward and when to pull back. Because I don't want to get up here and tell you what Chris Franklin thinks. I want the word of God to come forth. And God willing, that's what will come forth, right? And because it's really about what's his word to us today. It's about what is proceeding from the mouth of God today that we need to receive in our hearts, that we need to build up our foundation so that we can be a people who walk wholeheartedly before him, to go and to do, to be faithful. And then because of that walking in faith, see the fullness of God's blessings poured out, not just on us, but on all those around us as well. And so we're called to be strong and very courageous. And, you know, one of the things when we think about this, okay, he says, because you've listened to my voice, all these blessings are going to come. So what if we don't listen to his voice? His intention is to work through his people to establish his covenant promises on the earth. Why does he allow so much to be in our hands? Why? I mean, that has to be a reasonable question for us to ask. But I think it's because he's the one who strengthens our faith. He's the one who equips the called. He's the one who walks with us all the time and does not leave us or forsake us. And when we realize that he's the one who goes before us, then we can have confidence in moving forward. Then we can say, yes, Lord, your will be done, and I'll go where you say to go. And I was thinking about the faith of the mustard seed, right? It's not a large seed, okay? God's looking for an open window, a window of opportunity to pour into us. If we would just open up and say, Lord, give me the vision, help me to see. Here I am, come and we make space and we make room. Come and move within us. Have your way, and we surrender, right? We were singing about that earlier. And he's looking for that because he can take that mustard seed of faith and he can build it up into something far greater. He can take what we offer and he can multiply it. You know, and that made me think about the story of the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, the feeding of the 5,000. You know, within that story, 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed 5,000 men, not counting women and children. Okay? This is a large number of people. It is absolutely incredible what God accomplished through the provision and blessing because Yeshua trusted in God to provide. Right? And then it made me think, too, 5 loaves made me think of 5 stones with David going to confront Goliath. Here's David coming to fight a giant who was a champion of the army of the Philistines, and he goes out without armor, fully confident that God was going to deliver the Philistine into his hands. Why? Because God is the God of all Israel. And this giant had come out to profane the name of God and to cast down God's people. But it took one who would stand and say, no, I know the truth of God's word. I know his power and his might that will work mightily through me because he will give me power to have victory in this battle. It's not the might of my hand, but he has equipped me and he's prepared me through all my life, setting me up for such a time as this, that we will stand before the enemy and say, no, we're not afraid of the giants. We've seen what God does to the giants. And David went out and he took 5 smooth stones, right? And he went to the battle line and all it took was 1 stone. And he slung it and he took the giant down by the power of God, the provision of God. And they were given a great victory that day, so that all would see and know that there is a God in Israel. And he is the one who has the power over all. And so I kept going with the idea of fives, five, five. And I thought about the 5 books of the Torah. 5, 5, 5. 5 is the number of grace. It's the number of grace. And it's the kindness of God that he gives us all of these things. What do we read earlier? He gives you all of this to do good to you in the end. He gives the trials. He gives the challenges to do good to you in the end. He gives you his word and his commandments and his voice so that you will hearken to him to do good to you in the end. Because he's teaching you that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives on everything that proceeds from the mouth of God. And what does he call us to do? He calls us to listen and to walk faithfully. You know, in this week's portion, we have Deuteronomy 10, verses 12 to 13 that say, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good." For your good. This is what he requires. Revering him, walking in his ways, loving him, serving him. And so now, this passage parallels one that we know well from Micah 6, verse 8, where Micah says, "He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. A few years ago, that was the theme of VBS. And I just want to call Jamie up here to lead us in some worship. No, I'm kidding. Jamie coordinated all the worship for the kids during that VBS. She's fantastic, by the way. And whenever that comes up and I think of those songs, I'm thinking about the workout that Jamie made all the adults do. The kids were just having fun, but the adults, we were sweating. But doing justice, loving mercy, and walk humbly with our God. Last week we talked about how God tempers justice with mercy. God calls us also to temper justice with mercy, right? That's part of what Micah is saying here, is doing justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly with God. He says he wants you to walk in justice and in righteousness, but as you walk in justice and righteousness, I want you to be kind and merciful. And as you walk in mercy and kindness, I also want you to be righteous and just. Both of them going hand in hand, so that you can walk humbly with God, listen to His voice, and know how you're to interact with others, how you're to carry that out. What does justice and mercy look like hand in hand? And in so doing, be those who are witnesses that God's salvation may be known to the ends of the earth. But He's calling us to walk faithfully, to walk humbly, to listen to Him at every step of the way. Okay, so we were talking about the manna, talking about God's provision in it. And one of the things that we read is, He said, He fed you the manna that you did not know, right? And they hadn't seen it before. It was new to them. They knew God was all-powerful and mighty. But as they're wandering in the wilderness and they're in need of food and of water, God provided them in supernatural, wondrous ways. With the water that came forth from the rock and the bread that came down from heaven, so that the people could be satisfied when they eat and they would not thirst. And that's what Yeshua says about Himself. That He is the living bread that came down from heaven, that people would eat and be satisfied and walk in His salvation. We're going to read John 6. We'll read the story of the feeding of the 5,000. Okay, after this, Yeshua went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a large crowd was following Him because they saw the signs that He was doing on the sick. Yeshua went up on the mountain, and there He sat down with His disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up His eyes then and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward Him, Yeshua said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test Him, for He Himself knew what He would do. Philip answered Him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. Okay, that's 200 days worth of wages would not be enough even for them each to have a little. And one of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to Him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Yeshua said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Yeshua then took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, He told His disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that He had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Yeshua withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Those last two verses, what does that say? The people recognized the magnitude of the miracle they saw, and a connection was made with what Yeshua had done, just done with the powerful work of God in the wilderness to give bread to the people. And that Yeshua was doing something like unto what Moses had done. And so they saw him as the promised Messiah, the one who they waited for. This is something they hadn't seen before. Now, I think it was Elijah had, or I may be wrong, it might be Elisha, who had fed about 100 men with the multiplication of bread. But this was something far beyond. And so Yeshua recognized that they were about to make him king, right? Because they said, this is the promised Messiah. The promised Messiah is the king of Israel. And so he, knowing that this was coming, he slipped away so that they could not do it. But he was doing something that their fathers had not known. He was giving them a sign and a statement that even in these dark times, God is with you. And God has sent me to walk with you, to be one who provides for you, to teach you that man doesn't live by bread alone. Now, granted, I'm giving you bread to satisfy your physical need, but the call is for you to come deeper and to understand the spiritual aspects of this and to be strengthened in your relationship with God and your confidence and trust in Him. And as we continue on, even with the story here, in John 6, verse 26, Yeshua said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." So he's like, wait a second. You need to get things in the right, proper order here. "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has set his seal." He's affirming that, yes, I am the one that God has set his seal on, who will give you food to everlasting life. Be seeking that food, not this physical food. Now, he's not denying that you need the physical food to live, but he's saying you need to move beyond. Do you not yet understand that this isn't just about meeting your physical needs? This is something deeper that I'm drawing you into. And in John 6:31, the Pharisees said, "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Yeshua said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Yeshua said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." So Yeshua, here he is, speaking about the bread from heaven that they need to take hold of so that they may not hunger and they may not thirst. Right. Very much reminding them of the passage through the wilderness of the children of Israel, who God gave water to and gave manna to that they might live. Now, he was giving them the physical needs to bring them to the physical land. Yeshua is saying, I'm giving you the spiritual needs to bring you to everlasting life, to knowing God in this life and in the world to come. You know, this story is really impactful to me in multiple ways. If you look at our YouTube site and you look at the banner for Emmaus Road, I meant to put it up here on the screen, but I forgot. Sorry, guys. But if you go to YouTube and look at our banner, it's a picture from the Mount of Beatitudes in Israel, taken of a mosaic and stones of the five loaves and two fish. And then if you go on to Realm and you look at the event for Shabbat, it's a mosaic of 5 loaves and 2 fish that were found in a church there in Israel. I can't remember all the details on it, but the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Because it's a symbol, it's a remembrance of God's provision. It's a remembrance that God can take the little and do much. That He's the one who always goes before us, walks with us, provides all that we need, both in this life and in the life to come. And it also rings a bell with me too, because 15 years ago, during life group at the Kuvion's house, it goes way back, guys, 15 years. A couple weeks ago, I mentioned something about like 10 years from college, and I mentioned a couple tens, and somebody said, "You didn't graduate 10 years ago. Are you trying to hide your age?" And I'm like, no, just sowing a little confusion. No, but this was 15 years ago. I was in a life group, and what we did that night is the leader said, "Okay, I want everyone to close your eyes as we read this story of the feeding of the 5,000. And before we start reading it, I want you to pick somebody or pick a character from the story. And as you're listening and hearing, imagine what you would be experiencing in the midst of this story that's going on, you know?" And so they gave us a minute or two to say, okay, well, who is it that we're going to associate with? And so I asked God and I said, "Lord, who am I to be?" And He said, "The boy." And so I was like, okay. And so I listened to the story, and He began to speak about the willingness of the boy to give what he had and to offer up whatever he could do to help, even though it looked insignificant and it's insubstantial. Because you have to imagine, if you're the boy in that situation, they're like, "Hey guys, we got thousands and thousands of people to feed. I don't see much food. Who can help?" He's like, "I got 5 loaves of fish and 2 bread. How about that? 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. That's even better." And so it seems silly. In fact, it might not even be something you want to say. It's like, "Well, this is nothing. I'm not even going to say anything about it." But instead, He offers that up. And when Yeshua received that offering and He blessed God for it, He didn't say, "Silly boy, go back home." He said, "No, thank you for the gift of your provision, Father, through the hand of this boy whose faith you strengthened to come forward and offer this up. And now as I bless you, the one who gives good things to His children, I trust that you will feed your children." And He did, right? As part of that I was hearing from the Spirit is within this, He said to me, "You'll give what you have and it will look to be insufficient, but I'm going to make it multiply." That's what everybody here needs to hear today, is that whatever you have in your hand, it may look insufficient. It may look insubstantial. It may even make you want to say, "I'm just going to kind of put that in my pocket and pretend it's not there." But He says, "No, what I've placed in your hand, I placed in your hand for a purpose. And you're not to look at the strength and might of your hand or the sufficiency of what is in your hand. You're to look to the one who has all might and power and who will give you power to do what He set you out to do." And His promise and His call to us requires faithfulness. It requires courage. It requires faith. In Deuteronomy 9, the scripture says, "Hear, O Israel, you are to cross over the Jordan today and go in to dispossess nations greater and mightier than yourself, cities great and fortified up to heaven, a people great and tall, the descendants of the Anakim, whom you know and of whom you have heard it said, 'Who can stand before the descendants of Anak?' Therefore, understand today that the Lord your God is He who goes over before you as a consuming fire. He will destroy them and bring them down before you, so you shall drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord has said to you." He's saying you're not to look at them and their strength and their might. It's my strength and my might through your hand that this land will be delivered to you. And he says, not because of your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart are you going in to possess the land, but because of the wickedness of these nations, the Lord your God is driving them out from before you, and that he may confirm the word that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Okay, we're going back here. It's not because of the righteousness of the people. It's not because they were perfect. As God says, I'm driving out the wicked, and I'm giving you this land so that you can accomplish the purposes for which I have sent you forth, that the word that I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will be confirmed, that you will be a great nation, you will have this land, and all the nation will be blessed through you because of your faithfulness. It's God who goes before. It's God who accomplishes. But he's looking for those who will walk in faith and listen to his voice so that he may accomplish his purposes. When we look in Isaiah chapter 50, which is part of this week's Heftara, and I've got it on the screen, but I want to read it from this translation. Okay. You know, one of the things, it's God in whom we trust. He's the one who goes before you. Yeshua goes before us to lead us into the promised land, just as Joshua went before the people to lead them into the promised land. And in Isaiah 50, verse 7, the scripture says, "For my Lord Hashem Elohim helps me. Therefore, I was not humiliated. Therefore, I set my face like flint, and I knew that I would not be ashamed." Setting my face like flint, that is setting your face toward the goal and not being deterred, but going forward for the purpose that God says and saying, I know he is my help. Therefore, I can set my face like flint and go because I know he will not let me be put to shame. My champion is near. Whosoever would contend with me, let us stand together. Let whosoever is my plaintiff approach me. Behold, my Lord Hashem Elohim shall help me. Who will condemn me? Behold, they shall all become worn out like a garment. A moth shall devour them. Who among you fears Hashem, listening to the voice of his servant? Though he may have walked in darkness with no light for himself, let him trust in the name of Hashem and lean upon his God. Lean upon his God. It's God in whom we find strength and courage. And I've said a couple times today that God calls us to be strong and courageous. And if you were to look back in Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 through 9, God tells Joshua, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So again, with this call of being strong and courageous and that God is with us, he's saying, listen to my voice. I've given you the word. Place it within your heart. Follow me and hearken to my voice. You know, God has given us the Word for us to place it in our hearts, and He's given us the Spirit to give us revelation and understanding and a Word in its proper time as well. He often speaks to us through the Word, but He speaks to us in the still small voice as well. It's important that we listen and learn to discern His voice from our own, because sometimes it is our own voice when we hear something. But it's a practice. It's a practice of listening and responding. And as we do, we may get it right sometimes, we may get it wrong sometimes. But the times that we get it right and the times that we get it wrong are going to help us to discern what was the true voice of God. And we'll hear and we'll know and we'll be able to follow. God's desire is to do good to us and to give us confidence, to empower us through faith in the one who provides, the one who speaks. So I came across something I want to read to you guys today. I don't know who the author is, but I thought it was very much in line with what we're talking about. It starts out quoting Joshua 1:9. It says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Fear whispers, you're not ready. Discouragement hisses, you can't win. But God's voice cuts through the noise, I am with you everywhere." This isn't about pretending the battle isn't hard. It's about knowing you never walk into it alone. The same God who parted the sea, shut the mouths of lions, and calmed the storm is the same God who goes before you today. Your courage isn't built on your strength. It's anchored in His presence. Your confidence doesn't come from your skill. It comes from the certainty that the Almighty will not abandon you. So lift your head, straighten your shoulders, walk into that meeting, that trial, that unknown future with the quiet boldness of someone who knows heaven fights beside them. You are not alone. You never were, and you will never be. Be strong. Be courageous. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You know, God's the one who brings the victory. God's the one who said that we can trust in Him with an enduring faith that is unshakable. And He says that He goes before you. You know, whenever it says before, it's the word lifnei. It's in the face of, right before the face of. It's like it's right there. It's not like He goes before you and He's 40 miles ahead because He's driving faster on the highway than you. He's right before you, leading you. He's right with you through the trial. And He's saying, you can hear my voice. I'm with you. Calm your spirit. Ask me, seek me, and hearken to the word that I've given you and the word and that I give you by my spirit. And you will go and accomplish what I've set for you to do. Amen. Does anybody have anything that you want to share? Bless God. Bless God.
This morning in my quiet time, I was in 1 John where it talks about keeping the word. And in my Bible, I'd written guard the word, guard the Torah. And while we were talking earlier, I think the Lord wanted to say, the world has the guardians of the galaxy, characters made up by the world that are not of me. But you are the guardians of my truth. You carry my Ruach HaKodesh into the world. You are the guardians of my word. Carry it. Keep it. And I will bless you.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. This is by far one of my favorite parshas. And I feel like what you said is such a prophetic word. And that we are in a time where God is calling us to be bold, to declare his word in spite of our situation, to prophesy his word. His word is life. And when we stand in front of those giants and say, I will have provision this month to pay my bills, the gates of heaven will open. I will get the house because God said so, because God said so, because he is my father, the God of everything, of this universe, right? We should have no lack. We should have no lack. And in the moments that we have lack, we should run to the altar and say, God, show me. Speak to me. Help me to believe. Increment my faith in the times where I am weak, God. Come visit me, Lord. Do not let me stay in a place where I am stagnant, Abba Father. But please show me. Open the floodgates of heaven that I may see what you have for me. We cannot wake up every day. I think you mentioned it where we're just kind of like, oh, thank you, God. No, we have to open our mouths. We are in a time. God has called us for a time such as this for us to pray, to prophesy, to speak healing into people, to speak blessing into our families, to declare that our families will be saved because God said that they will be saved, that we will lack nothing.
Amen. Amen. Bless God. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your truth and your love. We thank you, Lord, for your kindness. We thank you, Lord, that you're the one who's our provider, the one who's with us, who strengthens us with the power of his might. Lord, it's all about your might. Father, I pray that you would give us an increased capacity to hear your voice and to be encouraged and strengthened as we discern your voice and walk in your ways, follow your lead, Lord. I pray that you guide us. Direct our footsteps. We ask this in the name of Yeshua. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. If you enjoyed this message, please consider sharing it with a friend or family member and help us out by giving a review on iTunes or other podcast platform. Check out our website at walkingemmausroad.org for additional teachings and information about visiting Emmaus Road in Kingwood, Texas.